Welcome, everyone. It is, boy, I tell you, Monday, May 24th, and this is T-Tate here on the Watkins Award Show, and of course, my sidekick, my right-hand guy, always on my hip, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall. How you doing there, Mr. Pearsall?
Wonderful, wonderful, on a great Monday evening. I am doing as good as I possibly could.
Well, you know, we got another exciting show. This is the 18th episode. I mean, man, this thing is rolling, man. I mean, we are rolling. And you would even, you're back in, you know, the laboratory, as I can
back
see.
Back in the lab, baby.
Yeah, and then you got a jersey back there with my name on the back of it. You
know, that's what well, I'm we see, about. You can see.
Man, I got some pretty good eyes, you know, and I mean, no, I didn't play in the league, ladies and gentlemen. I did, you know, a good job in high school back in Washington, D.C., but I didn't go in the league, but there is a young man that did come through matter of fact, two young men. They can't, that Tate name is running through the Watkins Award, so yeah. Two young men came through the system, but you know, to say the least, we got an exciting show today, as always. Always, the shows are exciting, and Mr. Pearsall, he brings the excitement with, you know, that laboratory that he has at the. Oh man, that you know, the laboratory, man, that lab looks exciting down there, Mr. Pearsall. I mean, what is it that really inspires you? Now, I always tell you. You kind of make me feel a little deflated when I have to look over and see the Cowboys going over your shoulder. I mean, what is it with you, Mr. Pearsall, that you want to just get me all riled up on Monday? This is TGIM, man. What's going on back there?
Well, you know I got to represent them Cowboys. They're always second to the teams that my Watkins guys play for. But today, you know, we have a guest that's going to come on board, which will actually be our fourth guy to play for the Houston Texans, right? So when I looked on the wall, of which I have many jerseys for my Watkins guys, I could at least, if not represent him, which he will be on the wall, our guest today, but I could at least represent the team that he's employed by right now. And so the fact that it has your name was a bonus, but that's a jersey for Ben Tate, previous running back. For the Houston Texans.
Okay. Well, let's not make it a secret. Let's go ahead and let everyone know that this, you know, coming up, we got Justin Reed. And certainly this is a phenomenal young man that we have coming up. And, you know, before we even get started, because, you know, I always like to say that, hey, you know, before we get going around here, because once we get started, we coming down the track. Ain't no stopping. We take the brakes off. And so, you know, we want to do our little disclaimer. Some people think that, you know, oh, what are they talking about? That's, again, disclaimers are good because we don't want BBS Radio and Doug and his brother who do a phenomenal job for us to get into any trouble. We don't want anyone to call them any kind of names. And then, you know, Mr. Pearsall and I, we don't mind taking the hit ourselves. I mean, we don't mind taking that hit. And so the views and opinions of the Watkins Award is our, you know, views and opinion. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there and let everyone know that if you want to call, you can call in and you can call, you know, certainly Mr. Pearsall or call myself. You know, T-Tate or Coach Tate, whatever you want to call me, because sometimes I notice that I've been called a few bad names on the internet. And so, you know, these names that I get called on the internet, man, Mr. Pearsall, you know, but that's okay. I'll take the hit. But you're here with Mr. Pearsall and I. And so our opinions are of the Watkins Award. On the National Alliance of African American Athletes, that you know they one and the same, and you know before we like to do a little housekeeping, if I may say, before we get the show started, because man, we got something exciting for you. And you know, and the housekeeping, you know, that we also want to get going is the fact that the Alliance, Mr. Pearsall, give me a brief understanding of what is the Alliance. People want to know. Well, you keep talking about this Alliance. Is this people getting together? Is it an organization? What is the Alliance, Mr. Pearsall?
Well, the Alliance is a short name or surname for the National Alliance of African American Athletes. And the National Alliance of African American Athletes is an organization which myself and seven other individuals back in 1989 formed and got started as a nonprofit 501c3 organization. The sole purpose of our organization is to utilize athletes in the industry of sport to empower, uplift, and help educate disenfranchised youth throughout this country. And so we've done it a number of different ways, and one of which obviously we're on the show for today, which is our flagship event, the Watkins Award. But again, we do many, many, many other things. We've done countless events, countless town hall, youth-oriented team summit type events, football camps, every sport we've used to entice kids to come in and get strong, positive messages. But again, it's an organization that's been around longer than anything else out there. And as much since 1989, we started this organization with the sole purpose of attacking the African-American male crisis and disenfranchised youth nationwide at large.
So now that I have, and I hope that my listeners and viewers have the same understanding, what is this Watkins Award all about?
The Watkins Award is an award which we started giving away back in 1992. Again, it is just one of the initiatives that we have, but it is the premier African-American scholar athlete as a male going into his senior year of high school. And with that award, we ask kids who are the top players in football, basketball, and baseball to apply for this award. And in as much as we've told them that they're nominated for being a great athlete, it's really not about athleticism at all. It's about these individuals being men of character, men of scholastic aptitude, and good community servants, where they talk about their volunteerism and what they've done to try to help others. These are the individuals that we end up honoring every year, and it's now 4 or 5 young men every year that we honor for the Watkins Award.
Man, that's something. I always say that this is an incredible opportunity for people to get information. I mean, this is a great education for not only young the youth. I don't want to say the wrong word. I want to be politically correct, the youth, but also for the adults, the parents in particular. But there are some adults out here that are very, very active in these young men and young ladies, because I don't want people to think because the Watkins Award is for African-American male athletes that you can't take the things that these young men have done in order to get to the point that they are at and incorporate that into someone else's life and help them to achieve greatness. But you use the word, so I want to backtrack on that word. You say it, premier award. Now, I mean, is there anything else out there like the Watkins Award, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely not. There's nothing else like it. There are things that, for sure, over the last 30 years that have come and that have gone. And so maybe something started yesterday that's maybe patterned after the Watkins Award of some sort. I don't know about it, but I do know for a fact that things have started and things have gone away that were in some way, shape, or form patterned after what we do. Let me address one other thing that you mentioned, and I just want to kind of touch on it ever so lightly. The Watkins Award is the only thing that is gender specific. It is the only thing that we do target African-American males. But one thing I want to highlight is the fact that these young men, and as they matriculate into being grown men and older grown men, they inspire all races, all genders, all people. I want to also touch on the fact that we do a number of other events. We do camps. We do town hall meetings. We've used sailing as a venue to get to youth. We do SAT scrimmage. We do a number of other events. And at all of those events, they are not, you know, race, gender specific in any way, shape, or form. And everyone is invited to be able to benefit from that. And so I just want to address that head on, is that it's not an organization that is just targeting, you know, one audience. However, we recognize how important that audience is. We've got a plethora of events. We have a plethora of programming that addresses all. But the Watkins Award, I will tell you, is just targeting a pretty specific group of people that we know that will continue to inspire the masses.
Well, you know, I'm grateful that I've had an opportunity to be a part of the National Alliance of African American Athletes, and certainly the Watkins Award, the event itself. It is just a phenomenal event. When you are around that many bona fide scholar athletes who just happen to be African Americans. So we've done 18 shows, okay, 18. And out of the 18 shows, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, three of these young men have come from, or I shouldn't say come from, but three of these young men have gone to Stanford. Now, here's the fourth one. So Stanford is one of the top three academic colleges in the world. I didn't say in California. I didn't say on the West Coast. I said the world. It's one of the top three. And so we've had, you know, today with Justin coming up, it will be the fourth one on this show. So we're making Stanford a norm now. Four guys, we're making this a norm. So people talk about how hard it is to get into a place like Stanford. And then Stanford is a Power Five school. And here we got a young man who comes, you know, through our program. And, you know, he goes to Stanford. He thrives through Stanford. I mean, Mr. Pearsall, help me to understand, how are you finding these phenomenal scholar athletes? What are you doing?
It's absolutely hilarious when you bring up the fact that we have had a number of guys go to Stanford. And it's funny when I talk to, if you mention that in front of one of our previous guests, Maurice Hall, or many others, they're happy to kind of say that they're trending toward approaching the numbers that have gone on to Stanford. But let me just say that, you know, obviously our guys can go anywhere, and they have the ability both physically by their performance on the field and scholastically by their grades to be able to get in. Every school has really their own attraction for the kids that we have and the young men that we have that are coming into the Watkins Award. But the larger number have gone to Stanford. I mean, undoubtedly, if you look at it. But we've had, you know, six or seven go to Georgia. We've had six or seven go to Ohio State. But when you take a look at the schools like the Vanderbilts, the Duke, the Stanford, some of the upper echelon, at least schools that are known to be, you know, academically challenging, our guys can go to those schools, as well as the great Ohio States of the world and other schools that really aren't really revered to be on that Ivy level, at least by some. it's not for me to judge. But when you ask me where do I find them, it's funny because they find us now. The reputation of the Watkins Award precedes us. And because of individuals that they've known that are either have attended the schools or maybe someone from their high school, their family, the coaching staff, I'd like to tell you that it will be more in the future. And I had hoped that obviously we'd be more of a household name. But those that are in the know have gotten to know. And those who don't know initially, it doesn't take them very long to do a little bit of cursory research to try to figure out who we are and why we do what we do, because we've had the Gerald McCoys, the Jameis Winstons, the Ted Ginn Juniors, the Myron Rolls. We've had those household name individuals that are really a great representation for what the Watkins Award is all about. Now, I've got some stories for you. And as much as I've gone out to see some kids and I've gone out there to see some families and perhaps the address I had was returned. And so I've showed up at some high school football games. And so I've got some stories that are very entertaining. But I'm happy to say because of the individuals involved, you know, they kind of find us and, you know, we send it out. We have a great nominating committee that does a wonderful job of sending the nominations out and getting those kids involved.
So, you know, and I don't want the listeners, viewers to get it twisted. I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on in my mind because it's no doubt. I love being involved with the Alliance and working with these young men that are honored through the Watkins Award. So I say that because I said four and it's actually five because I forgot. I mean, Okereke, J.R., Wayne, David, and now Justin. So it's been five guys on our show coming up now with Justin who have gone out to Stanford. And I just, you know, again, I just want the audience to know that we do everything in our power to make sure that we find these top scholar athletes and that these top scholar athletes represent what it is that we feel that represents the top scholar athlete in the country. I mean, when we set the bar, we talking about young men who got GPAs that are off the Richter scale, and they are five-star athletes. For those who don't know what a five-star athlete, that puts you at the top. You know, in football, for example, high school football, as far as five-star athletes, I think it's 137. I mean, it's not a big number. It's not like everybody. And there's some people that try to classify themselves as a five-star athlete. Oh, I'm a five-star athlete. Yeah, right. Okay. But, you know, this thing that we are entrenched in, the National Alliance of African American Athletes and this award that we honor these young men with, it represents excellence in education. It represents excellence in the sport that they play in. I always talk about academics and athletics. I mean, these are the quintessential of the best of the best, and these young men focus. And this is going to be, you know, quite a conversation that we're going to have because I try to have conversations with these young men that represent what I feel is the type of information that these young men can pass on to parents and the youth that will allow allow them to be a part of this whole, just this whole idea of just saying that these are the best scholar athletes in the country. And again, most of these young men, they play two and three sports. These young men are competing with the home. It's a lot going on. Just a whole lot going on. But I'm gonna stop there and just say, because I know it's a lot of people that listen to our show that are from the great state of Louisiana. It's no doubt that everybody wanna claim Louisiana as being the greatest state for football players. They don't care about the baseball, they don't care about the basketball, they care about the football. So here we go again. I'm gonna take you all on a little trip, bear with me. But Justin Reed here. And Justin, he's just a normal guy like any other youth that's out here. He's from down there in Louisiana, and from what I know, he comes through, middle school, comes to high school, and he's at Dutchtown High. Now, this isn't, some huge school, and I'm going to get it out there so we can get this out of the way. Yes, Justin is the younger brother of Eric Reed. So I know it's a lot of you like, well, wait a minute. Is this the, yes, this is. He's 5 years behind. So we got the younger brother, but he goes to Dutchtown. And then he goes on to Stanford. And this is his third or fourth year. He'll correct me. His fourth year coming into the NFL. So we don't want to get it twisted. But with all that said, welcome to the show, Justin Reed. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's happening, brother? I'm absolutely excited to be on the show, be able to talk a little bit. You're right about that. Louisiana is the best state for football. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We got all type of talent coming from there. And then, yeah, you're also right about it, too. I'm going into my fourth year in the league with the Houston Texans.
Well, let's get something straight here, because the year that you came through the system in 2015, you had Frank Buncombe. And he went out there to Stanford. You had Arrington Farrar, who, ironically, is from Georgia, who went to Wisconsin. You had Halton Hill, who went to Texas. Bryce Love, who was out there at Stanford as well. And Daylon Mack, who went to Texas A&M. And you, yourself, went to Stanford. Your household, what kind of stress is on you as a ninth grader coming to high school? Are you even thinking about football? Because you got an older brother that's 5 years ahead of you. So when you were in the ninth grade, your brother already in college.
Yeah. It's funny. I definitely felt like there was a high standard to live up to. And not necessarily in ninth grade in the realm of football, because funny enough, I didn't actually start playing football seriously. I played middle school and all that, but I didn't start playing football seriously until about the 10th grade. I didn't even want to play my ninth grade year. My high school football coach came and grabbed me out of class and was like, I can't understand why you don't want to even play football. And your brother's right now, he's starting for the LSU Tigers. And you know, anybody from Louisiana, football is religion down there. And if you're from Baton Rouge, all you watch is LSU. You're from New Orleans, all you watch is the Saints. But he convinced me to play, and I fell in love with the game, and I never looked back since. But there definitely was a high expectation just in the household. And it wasn't to do anything that any of us weren't capable of doing. It was just whatever your best was, that's what was expected. You know what I mean? That's what my parents preached. And they taught us, like, you always take care of your business first, whether that be your classroom work or you made a commitment to somebody or whatever have you. Your word is your commitment, and you take care of all that first before you go out and do anything else. And you know what I mean? It worked out for us. It's funny you mentioned Bryce and Frank. They're two of my best friends still to this day. And we have met here through Watkins.
Well, so step me through the Reed household. So you in that household, you in the ninth grade, so now your GPA is going to be added up. It starts in the ninth grade. A lot of people try to wait until the 11th or 12th grade and say, I'm going to get my grades together. Mm-hmm. But let's let the audience know, he comes out of, when Justin comes out of high school, he had a 4.2 GPA. So what was going on in your household when you was in the ninth grade?
If I'm be completely honest with you, I wanted to beat my brother. We're all competitive, man. And he came and he had somewhere around there, 4.2, 4.3, 4, something or other. And I just wanted to beat him, man. I wanted to go, I was like, okay, he did that, I'm gonna do one better.
So when your brother was in the ninth grade, here you are in the fifth grade, the fourth grade. Yeah. You was keeping up with this guy's GPA when he was in high school?
Yeah, well, I knew about it by the time I got to high school, and I was like, you know what I mean? If you talk to any one of my brothers, man, it doesn't matter if we're playing a board game, cards, or whatever. We all want the bragging rights of being able to talk noise to one another about it in the future. So it's just a competitive nature inside of us. And, you know, a lot of it is good parenting, too. And I got to thank my parents a lot for the structure that they gave all of us.
So when you're focusing on academics, you're focusing on athletics, you are, you know, clearly the top defensive back coming out of high school. Everybody is coming after you. So when did the recruiting part start to, you know, you start noticing this recruiting thing?
Yeah, it started off junior year. I say when it started off seriously. And then around early senior year, it really took off. And then like around the end of junior year, I maybe had like a handful, maybe 8 or 9. By the end of my senior year, it climbed up to like 35.
Holy cow. I mean, how does an athlete of your status keep a balance with all of these phone calls and people reaching out and telling you this best kid? How do you maintain that focus on your books?
Well, I think it's because I was always grounded. You know what I mean? Like, even though I was getting a lot of attention, and the attention was really nice, you know what I mean? It felt like, you know what I mean? Like, I have a chance to go out and complete my dreams, go play at the next level at that point, being college ball. But I was always grounded, and I didn't let it go to my head to where I thought I was on a pedestal and I was better than anybody else. You know what I mean? Other people have talents and things that I can't do. You know what I mean? I just so happened to be, you know what I mean, a great football player. And, you know, I did well with the school things too. But because I was grounded and I didn't think I was, you know what I mean, better than anyone in the sense of, like, just the way I carried myself, I was always very humble. That allowed it to be easy to remain focused. You know what I mean? I wasn't distracted by sure. it.
Well, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but clearly you have to try to answer the best way you can. And the question is, they say it takes a village to raise a child. So absolutely. I know your parents did an awesome job, but when you weren't around your parents, who was that person or two in your life that kept you focused, kept you balanced in what you were doing?
Absolutely.
Hold on 1 second. I hear the music coming. So that's our commercial. That's how we pay a bill every once in a while. So, hey, I just want everybody to know, we got, you know, no other. We got Justin Lee here. Of course, we always got Mr. Pearsall with us as well. Here at the Watkins Award Show, we'll be right back because, man, we got some more for you. Just gonna help you. You wanna go with family? We're gonna help you get into the mindset. Again, this is the Watkins Award Show. We'll be right back.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Curvy Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing, our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Yeah, you're here with us on the Watkins Award. You got J. Everett Pearsall, and certainly we're having a ball right now because we're here with Justin Reed. And Justin came through the Watkins Award 2015, and certainly we want to acknowledge the fact that Justin, you know, is no doubt an enormous athlete, but he's a scholar as well. And one of our questions just before we went into that little break was the fact that it takes a village to raise a child. And we know that a lot of these guys want to give credit where credit is due. Who was that? Who was that person? Because it could have been a male, female, or both, who were keeping you as straight and narrow and making you hold up to the standards and holding you accountable.
Absolutely, man. A lot of it was a lot of my coaches. You know, my parents weren't around. They were like father figures to me. Coach Brown, Coach Saya, even when I was younger, Coach Davis, they always mentored me and kind of kept me in the right direction. And, you know, they told me things like, listen, you have a chance. Most athletes get themselves, like, ruin their own chance just by what they do off the field or something like that. So, like, you know, just keep your head on straight. Keep working hard. Always be the hardest working guy in the room. Good things are going to happen.
Wow. So you leave Louisiana and you go to Stanford. I mean,
culture shock, man. Whole different world.
So tell me, what happened? You leave Louisiana. I'm sure LSU is upset. I mean, clearly you go to this academic powerhouse. I call Stanford the firehouse because I'm sure you didn't have any instructors out there. Oh, you play football, so I'm going to take it easy on you today.
Oh, no, man. If anything, it was the opposite. They're like, oh, you play football? You got your work cut out for you.
So what's going through your mind when you get to Palo Alto?
You know, man, at that time, you're just a young kid excited to be in a new area, a new city. Growing up in Prairieville, man, and moving to Palo Alto, the threshold of Silicon Valley, like I said earlier, it was a culture shock. So many new people, so many new faces. Luckily, I had some great teammates, and, you know, I mean, we're working there early in the summer for football workouts and training, so I got a little bit of a head start knowing my way around the campus. But found a lot of friends in the football team whenever the rest of the students got there. This university does this cool thing where your freshman roommates, you don't choose them. You get assigned. You know what I mean? At the time, everybody doesn't like it. But looking back on it, I thought it was one of the coolest things that they did because it got you a chance to interact with new spaces of people you wouldn't otherwise talk to. And I had a roommate named Mylon Gray and another basketball player named Marcus Sheffield. And I got to meet all their friends and find the things they were into and, you know what I mean, that I wouldn't have otherwise done. So it made the transition a lot smoother.
Well, and it certainly didn't hurt that there were six individuals that were honored that year in 2015. And as you just mentioned, you had Frank and Bryce, you know, as friends on the team as well as freshmen. Well,
yeah.
You know,
Frank actually ended up being my roommate the next 2 years after that.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. That must have been quite an experience to say the least. Well, you know, before I let you go and hand you on over to Mr. Pearsall. I mean, just let the audience know. I mean, you're out there in Palo Alto. That's within itself, as you mentioned, culture shock, things that are going on out there. But you're at the great Stanford, and the football out there is just unbelievable at Stanford. So what was your feeling about that football team out there and the atmosphere?
Yeah, it's different. 2015 was a special year. That's when we had went to the Rose Bowl, ended up beating Iowa to get the Rose Bowl ring there. Man, that was such a fun year. But football is really the best of both worlds in the sense that you still had a competitive football team, but you still got to have all the benefits of the network of being in Silicon Valley. And I got to meet the CEO of Google one time, just casually one time. It was just around. I got introduced to him. So that's really where the cool part is about going to school out there is the hands that you get to shake that might come around again later in life.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, you're going to always have Mr. Pierce on life because every time I talk
that's
to
my
him,
guy right there.
Hey, every time I turn around, Mr. Pierce, where you headed, man? I'm headed to Palo Alto. Hold up, man. They don't have that many home games, man. You're going out
yeah.
to Palo Alto. But Mr. Pierce, he is all yours because I know you got some. I mean, AKA what? I can't wait to hear this one.
Justin Reed, a.k.a. J. Reed, a.k.a. J.R., a.k.a. Justin the Jawjacker, a.k.a. Reed the Wrecker, a.k.a. Mr. Hitman, a.k.a. Yeah. Mr. Impact, the smartest and hardest hitting safety in the NFL. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, it's good to see you, my boy. I'm happy to
always, always good to see you. You've heard me say it many times, and I'm going to say it many times more. Our first opportunity to meet one another was when we were honoring your brother, and we came back to Baton Rouge to do his individual function. And when you talk about your sense of competitiveness, I didn't know you then. I didn't know the whole spirit of the household. I can only imagine. But when we were done, we always talk about the fact that we want to come back to honor another individual in that community. And Justin walked up to me and so assuredly looked me in my eyes and told me, you'll be back to honor me. It's never happened before, and I venture to tell you, it will never happen again. I will tell this story forever because I'll tell you, it will never happen again. I tell you, his apple certainly doesn't fall far from the tree. And his dad being the Reverend Dr. Reed, he is a world-class track athlete in his day, left Maryland, Bowie, Maryland, to go out to LSU and broke every record they had out there for the event that he participated in. And then Mama Reed, so loving, so caring, but so one about her kids to make sure that they get everything. Yeah. Now, Mama played professional football as well. Most people don't know that.
That's what she told
and so you're talking about a world-class guy.
Yeah.
Brother played soccer, brother in the NFL. You talk about the ball, not the apple falling not far from the tree. But the first question I have for you, Justin, in as much as obviously you have a great incubator within your household, once you go to high school, you start spending more time outside of your household. Let's talk about with all the things that you had to go through, what were some of your biggest obstacles that you had to overcome? And we know that you overcame them because of all the things that you've accomplished so far.
One of it is yourself, your own personal ego. And, you know, when things start going well for you, you can't let that change how you act or change your character or change your work ethic. You know what I mean? Just because you've started doing things right doesn't mean that it's going to keep going that way if you take your foot off the pedal. So always having just a positive mindset, a work first, you know, a blue collar mindset of that we're going to put the work in on the field, in the classroom, whatever building you step into, you put up your best effort and don't let yourself get in the way of your success by thinking that you've made it or thinking that there's some type of shortcut, because in the end, there are no shortcuts. So learning some of those things the hard way, so learning some of those things just because, like I said, I had a great family atmosphere that really drilled that into me, even when I didn't want to hear it. And then also just sometimes just injury. You know, that happens to all athletes. I ended up having surgery my senior year. I had a bone spur in my foot I had to get taken out, and I also had a fractured sesamoid, and just getting over that injury, man. It's never easy, but it's something you just take day by day. And don't rush it back too soon. You don't want to injure it again. And even though I wanted to go play immediately, I had good people around me that held me back. And looking back on it, I'm so happy that they did. Don't rush back into anything. Make sure you're fully ready to go before you get back.
great, great, great feedback. Now, I forgot to mention that Mama Reed went to LSU as well. And so, yeah, you know, obviously I have a mom and dad that went to LSU. It's one of those Tigers. Second question that I have for you, Justin, is that, and you kind of touched on it a little bit for it earlier when you talked about when you fell in love with football. But one of the things that Tyrone and I talk about all the time is the real minute difference between a 4-star and a 5-star. And when you take a look at the rankings, how political they may be, you know, I venture to say there are more 4-stars in the NFL than 5-stars coming through, just in terms of the work ethic of the individuals that really have to make sure that once they get to college, they keep getting better. So, yeah, you know, being ranked at what I believe to be a 4-star, correct me if I'm wrong, what kind of chip did you have on your shoulder? And really, this is for those parents out there who don't have the political connections, yeah, those kids out there that are climbing the ranks, but they're finding themselves banging their head against that wall of crossing over into a 5-star, which you and I both know there's very small difference. What are some of the things that you had to sort of come, you know, overcome in that way?
Yeah, you know, some had me as a 4-star, some had me as a 3-star. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? A lot of it is other people's opinions that don't matter. You can't ever let someone else's opinion of you determine what type of athlete or what type of success you're going to have. And one of the biggest things that helped me, honestly, when it happened in the league too, because I had a first round grade and fell to the third round, is it put a big chip on my shoulder. And I took that with me in every game that I played. I was like, I'm going to make everybody that thought that I was this type of athlete pay for the way that they're thinking about it. You know what I mean? So,
yes,
so you just use it as fuel on the fire. You know what I mean? Don't let someone else's judgment tell you what type of athlete you are, where you're going to go. None of that matters. You determine that for yourself by the type of work you put on the field, by your attitude, by your character, and just how you carry yourself on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Now, we know that obviously you've got some guys that, you know, glaringly with 6 guys that are part of Watkins that were on your team and so forth and so on. What kind of impact has the Watkins Award made on your journey so far? And certainly, you know, having had Buncombe as an actual roommate, obviously you could talk about that at a much higher level than most. But, you know, as you've gone through your journey from high school and up until now, tell us what the Watkins Award has meant to you and the impact it's made on you.
It's special, man. The way that the Watkins goes into communities and find athletes and encourages them to be the best version of themselves on and off the field is really special. The network that you build, the bonds I've made, obviously with the guys I played with, but even with Mac and some of those guys, Holden Hill, I still talk to those guys today, you know? So it's good to have those connections and really build a network that you can rely on really for the rest of your life. I talk to you all the time, you know? We go out and catch food and eat dinner and tell jokes and stuff, man. So it's just really good to be part of the Watkins family.
Oh, man, we're certainly proud to have you as part of it. We are better because of you. One of the things that we also talk about is the fact that, you know, I say 98.6, 98.7, you know, Tyrone will say 99. That said, Watkins guys always graduate from college. But you tell me, you know, any guy that can grab that bag, especially in the sport of football at the college level, with the injury rate that and the impacts mm-hmm. that happen throughout the course of a season, it made much more sense for you and many others to come out after their junior year. What are you doing to address that journey to a college bachelor's degree? You're breaking up on us a little bit.
I go back. Can you hear me?
No, so you just broke up on us pretty good. Can you repeat that for me?
Yeah, I encourage guys, you know, when the cards are hot, you know, to a man, you have to make that decision for yourself and where you want to go. But every offseason, I go back from January to March, and I take 1 or 2 classes at a time. I don't try and overdo it because as you grow up, you have more and more responsibilities on your plate. But it's a big deal to me to want to get that degree. So I just take one. I just take my time with it. 1 or 2 classes. I did 3 classes this past year. That was tough, but you know what I mean? But everything that's worth it is never easy.
And I know that. And a lot of the guys, again, I can go down the list of the individuals that have come out early and eventually don, you know, that graduation uniform. It's tougher when you get out, when you're taking, you know, 3 credits to 9 credits and so forth. But again, that journey continues. And I'll tell you, it'll be rewarding because I know that mom and dad, they're counting the credits that you have left, you know, every year that goes by and looking forward to the opportunity to go down there to Tiger Stadium and celebrate with you on that journey to graduation. It'll be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
I know you're doing a lot of good things, man.
Aaron's going to be at Tiger.
Oh, Dad, that's right. Stanford Cardinals Stadium. Yeah. Stanford Cardinals Stadium, my bad. You know, I got caught up in the moment.
Yeah. Hey, my own coach, look, my current coach right now for the Texans actually coached Eric his rookie year with the 49ers.
Is that right?
Even we had practice today, man, he's still – you know, he's trying to tell me something.
I was up in the Tiger Mania. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about some of the great things you're doing now. You know that we're going to be getting you involved with the alumni board, and, you know, that's going to be some of the things that Jamal and Vauders and some of those guys are going to be talking to you about, and Bobby as well is going to be getting involved. So I know you'll be taking a leadership position within the Watkins Award, helping to continue to drive us to the future because we can't do it without you. But tell us about some of the great things that you're involved with now, that you're playing football, but also you have an opportunity to have an impact in the community and help out others that are around you.
Yeah, on the charitable side of things, we just helped host a food drive with the Boys and Girls Club this past weekend. Hand out a bunch of food that people will be able to use this coming weekend for Memorial Day. So they're going to have a good family cookout. Two of my other favorite organizations to work with are Candlelighters, which combats childhood cancer and helps with the expenses for that and for family to take care of that. And also Kids Meals, which combats childhood hunger. I have a big passion for working with kids. That's why all the organizations I listed off all have things to do with the next generation, because it's like we said earlier, none of us got where we're at on our own. So I just want to pay that forward to the next generation. So I have a passion for working with kids, getting out there, looking forward to creating my own foundation in the next year or so that's going to focus on bringing tech into underserved communities. That way they have a chance to work with Excel and build those tech skills that will hopefully serve them when they start reaching their career phase of life.
Oh, man, that's excellent. You know, I'm more excited about what you do off the field. I come see you play just because I want to say I did. But when you're telling me about all the things that you do off the field, those are the things that excite me more than anything else, because I know that those are things that will impact our community and those are the things that will uplift the next generation of youth. If you have one message that you would put out there for a kid that you knew that was listening to you and you knew that they would be able to embrace what it is that you were saying, what would that one message or sentence or slogan be?
Anything, this is with anything that you're doing, whether on the field, on the classroom, just interacting with people, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. Put 110% effort into it, and you'll always be happy with the result in the end.
That is awesome. And definitely that's something that's simple enough that they could take with them forever. Man, we're so happy to have you part of Watkins. I appreciate you taking the
opportunity. I'm looking forward to seeing you again live, man, and getting involved with the Watkins event that we're about to host coming up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm coming out there. So that next time we do something like this, I'll have your jersey over there instead of Ben Tate. I just represented the Houston Texans with his jersey. But next time it'll be your jersey. And then Tyrone will complain about the fact that I have somebody else's jersey up and it doesn't say Tate. But I'll turn it back over to Coach Tate.
Man, you know, you're a piece of work, Pearsall. You are a piece of work. You know, Justin, when we first met, of course, we go to the banquet. We at the Black Tie Fair. He's looking real dapper. I mean, always looking, you know, like a corporate guy. I mean, you're talking about here, he going as a freshman in college. He looking like a corporate guy, but that's okay, because you get caught up in the moment, and here he done did everything he could possibly do to remind you he's a Cardinal. He's not a Tiger. He's a Cardinal. And he made sure you knew that. He didn't just let it slip by.
I'm glad he didn't.
Man, you know, Justin, I'm proud of you, man. I mean, clearly, you went out there, you took care of business, and now you're in the NFL and you're taking care of business. You know, we, you know, certainly send all our love to moms and pop, because They didn't let you digress. I mean, they kept you focused and certainly gave you the, you know, put the seeds in you, planted those seeds, cultivated that land around you. And man, you have turned out a phenomenal person. Just not an
athlete. Yeah, I appreciate that. That's awesome, man. That's awesome hearing that from you, my guy. I really appreciate it. And well, the stuff that you guys are doing is incredible too. And just be able to find guys like me and the next guys, you know what I mean, that I'm sure are all over the place. We all can go find them and let them know that it's, you know what I mean, it's good to see young kids grow up and do good things. I love seeing
them. Well, that's one of the things that I'm going to hold you accountable for. You know, since you talk about the great state of Louisiana, I'm going to hold you accountable to help us to find another Watkins man in Louisiana. He got to be somewhere around Louisiana. You know, there's been a couple of guys that come out of Watkins down there in Louisiana. So I'm going to hold you accountable to help us to find that next Justin Reed that's somewhere down there.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I just want to thank you very much for your time. Certainly, I'm sure that Mr. Pearsall is going to find a way to get to you in the midst of a pandemic. Everything is kind of getting a little softer now. He can move around a little bit more than what he was. So I'm going to let him figure out that date, that time. But hold both of us accountable for your nonprofit organization. You know, certainly I'm all in. I know Pearsall is all in. Whatever we need to do, we're in it for you.
Now, Justin, give us your social media so that everyone that's listening can follow you on all your social media platforms.
Yeah, it's the same thing for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's just Justin Q Reed. That's JustinQReid. Yeah, and that's the username. You'll be able to find me there.
Okay. Excellent, excellent.
And they like me, we all can keep up with you, you know, all the good stuff. So make sure you update those, that social network. And I heard the dog in the background wanted some attention as well. So,
that's my boy, man. I'm a sure.
I can tell. Oh boy, I mean, oh man. Well, you make sure you keep us updated on everybody and, you know, the family and what you're doing. And man, I, you know, nothing but love for you. Thank you for your time. Mr. Pearsall, you always outdo yourself. And you say you was going to get me Justin. I just thought he was pulling my leg, Justin. I said, no way in the world. Justin's somewhere working out or reading books. You know, and he said, no. I got him. Don't worry. He's coming on the show. So I appreciate everything. And we're going to keep in touch, no doubt.
Awesome, man. All right. You guys
thanks, Justin, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Love you, man.
Love you too, brother.
Okay. Hey, everybody, all I want to let you know is you just heard it yourself. You heard it from Justin Reed. You didn't hear it from J. Everett Pearsall and T.K. You heard it from Justin Reed yourself. How to plant those seeds and get things going. Because it starts at a young age, and he, you know, obviously there's some structure in me. Well, look here, I can hear the music. The Watkins Award Show. This is something. I mean, I want to thank everybody. I mean, look, I was down here, you know, at the little spot. I was hungry. I was thinking about Pearsall. So I'm going to have to take Pearsall over to B's Kitchen, man. He got some of the best fish in the South, man.
Let's get it.
And I know Mr. Pearsall wants. And Mr. Pearsall, I also want to tell you, man, you got another piece of gear on right here. You know,
hey, baby. Fun. Hey, hey.
So, this has been DK. And certainly we got J. Everett Pearsall here with us. And certainly we've had a fantastic show.
See you next Monday!
Oh, All you gotta do is put your mind to it.